Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am so glad you're with us this hour. And, you know, we've talked about Dublin, Ohio. And that's truly, in many ways, a celebration of Dublin, Ireland. And so I thought it would be a good idea if we went off to Dublin, Ireland, because there's a brand new exhibit about to open. And it commemorates the 100th anniversary of a defining moment in Irish history. And we're going to go off and meet with Mark Leslie and talk about that right after this.
Stephanie Abrams Travel Show is brought to you in part by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Tickets for the 2016 Tanglewood season are on sale now. Call 888-266-1200 to request a brochure or visit tanglewood.org for the season schedule or to buy tickets. Tanglewood, the celebrated summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the beautiful Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts, is open for 10 weeks in the summer. In addition to classical music, Tanglewood is host to several popular artist shows, the Boston Pops, and jazz performances.
On the line with us, actually live from London, where he is at the moment, globetrotter that he is, but talking about what's going on in Dublin, Ireland, where he resides when he's not globetrotting around the world, is our good friend Mark Leslie, who we visited with just, I'm going to say it was something like January 4th, no, 3rd. When we were, I think we were at that point at Killiney Castle. That's good. A little Freudian, but almost right. Fitzpatrick Castle in Killiney, the Beverly Hills of County Dublin. And we went into Dublin town to catch up with Mark Leslie, who has been up to his eye teeth and to some degree still is, involved in the debut of a new and, but at the same time, his incredibly historic exhibit that is having its grand opening shortly at the General Post Office, lovingly referred to as the GPO, the General Post Office, not to be confused with the USGOP, in Dublin, and that was the site of an Alamo-type event from which you can actually see the bullet holes in the stone exterior, in the columns in the front of the building, and the 100th anniversary commemorating the Easter Rising, the rebellion that took place in Dublin town in 1916 is something that Mark has been very much involved with, because he is CEO of a company he has founded and continues to spearhead the development of visitor experiences at venues all over the world that have debuted in places like Singapore. When the World Expo was there and his company was responsible for the Ireland Pavilion there, for which he won both an award from China and an award from Ireland, and Just about everything he's ever done has won an award. I hope some of you who were in New York for the at least 6 month period when Churchill, the power of the word or words, was on display at the J.P. Morgan Library in New York City, which we were privileged to attend on opening night, which was great fun. So we got together with Mark and one of the people at the General Post Office who was overseeing this implementation of this project a year ago, January, when it was just a blueprint and we walked about space that was going to be this and going to be that. Then we were back in January 2016, a year later, and a little bit more than a month ago. And we walked through where installations of the displays and this and that are going on, but it wasn't yet ready to open. But it is at that point now, and that's why we have Mark on the line with us. So thanks for calling in from London. What's brought you to London?
Oh, hopefully another exciting cultural and heritage project. But anyway, rather than digress, I'm slightly emerging from a year of sieges, because this year we did the Great Siege of Malta exhibit in Fort San Angelo, the Apprentice Boys Siege of Derry up in the north of Ireland, but the siege of the General Post Office in the Easter Rising, which is the centerpiece of Ireland's decade of commemoration. As a country, Ireland owes its independence to 10 years of exciting, dramatic, and often quite terrifyingly violent events that took place from about 1912 to 1922, when the British troops actually left. But just as America dates its independence from the Declaration of Independence in 1776, rather than the actual departure of the British, the Irish date their independence from 1916, which was the moment in which an Irish Republic was declared by a bunch of poets, playwrights, and revolutionaries from the portico of the General Post Office, one of the most iconic buildings in the centre of Dublin. Now, needless to say, their uprising in military terms was crushed ruthlessly. So the British ringed the city centre of Dublin with artillery. The poor Irish rebels were outnumbered 10-1 by overwhelming British forces. And although, despite being outnumbered, they put up a very heroic 3 or 4 day fight where they were actually winning. But when the British realised they were losing the street fighting, they took a tactical decision to just destroy the centre of Dublin with the rebels in it, and quite ruthlessly and unnecessarily took all of the rebel leaders out, who were well-known public figures, and sentenced about 200 of them to death, actually executed 15 of them before worldwide outcry, because they were sort of shooting them two a day every 2 days to kind of prolong the agony. But this caused such an outcry that public opinion in Ireland and in Britain and around the world swung in their favour. So in losing heroically, they actually changed in W.B. Yeats's immortal words, you know, all changed utterly, a terrible beauty is born.
Wow.
They were espousing a more extreme form of independence, a full republic, inspired by the example of the American Revolution, which they very much modeled, complete freedom, human rights, votes for women, a very advanced political program, which at the time the majority of Irish people hadn't quite bought into, because they thought it would never be achievable, that the most that the British Empire would tolerate is some sort of limited home rule for Ireland within the United Kingdom. But these rebels, led by James Connolly and Patrick Pearse, took the bull by the horns, and soon by seizing all the main public buildings in Dublin and declaring a sovereign republic with a whole set of principles, their declaration of the Irish Republic is the founding title deeds of an independent Ireland, and it is like the American Declaration of Independence. The principles on which our constitution are written. The fact that they put on up a heroic fight, were overwhelmed, and ultimately the leaders executed, you can imagine how emotive the Mount Alamo would be if Davy Crockett and Sam Houston had all actually been overwhelmed by the Mexicans and shot by firing squads, and yet still somehow, you know, sowed the seeds for Texas or whatever. So it's a very contested, very emotional bit of history for the Irish. It took them another 7 years of guerrilla warfare, much like in America, before they actually secured a deal on which the British left. And it took even longer to achieve recognition by the British of a fully independent republic in Ireland, because in 1922, Ireland had a free state, a sort of sovereign government that still technically was within the British Empire, in which the King of Britain was still technically the head of state. But and that was a very divisive event, because it led to a civil war between those Irish who were prepared to accept freedom to achieve ultimate freedom and the more all-or-nothing faction. So in presenting the story of the GPO, which is a iconic centerpiece of Dublin, it's the point from which all distances are measured, and it's the point in time, measure their statehood. Because the fact that it led to a civil war, a prolonged guerrilla war and a civil war, and many people say the terrible violence of the 1970s and 80s and unmandated violence of the Provisional IRA, who claimed the example of the 1916 rebels, who didn't actually at that point have a democratic mandate for their actions, has made it a very sensitive but interesting project to work on.
Well, take a quick moment. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come right back, because I have lots of questions and I want to get into the specifics of what do people see when they go to the General Post Office in Dublin by way of the visitor experience exhibit related to the events that began in 1916. Stay with me, everybody. We'll be right back. This is Stephanie Abrams.
Amtrak's Adirondack Weekend Getaway Fair continues. One of the top 10 most scenic train rides in the world, the Adirondack travels daily from New York City to Montreal. Travel is valid in either direction and for any stops along the route, and is just $90 round trip now through April 28th. And up to two children ages 2 to 12 may accompany each adult at half fare. Blackout dates apply. Reservations required a minimum of 3 days prior to travel. Subject to availability for travel Thursdays through Mondays. Other restrictions apply. Book exclusively at Amtrak.com. Tickets for the 2016 Tanglewood season are on sale now. Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony in the Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts, presents classical music, jazz, the Boston Pops, and popular artists in a magnificent setting. For tickets and the full season schedule, please visit tanglewood.org or call 888-266-1200. That's tanglewood.org or 888-266-1200.
Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams with my on-air travel companion, David Isby. Seasoned travelers know that October through March is the value pack time to go to Europe, and it's the smart season for travelers to go to Ireland.
October through March offers smart season travelers low rates and availability at the places you want to stay at and visit without the crowds of summer.
There are more airlines flying to Ireland offering competitive airfares during smart season travel and spectacular values at cozy country castles, historic hotels, and inns, all with cheery fireplaces and warm welcomes waiting for you.
You can experience the best of Ireland by combining city and countryside visits to Dublin and Wicklow, Belfast to the Antrim Coast, or Galway to Connemara.
Don't miss ongoing festivals around the Emerald Isle, including Dublin's Tradfest in January with the best traditional Irish music, and the St. Patrick's Day week-long festival celebrations.
Plan your trip now at Ireland.com and call your travel agent.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I'm delighted to have on the line with me Mark Leslie. Mark is the founder and CEO of Martello Media. I know we never know who's listening, as I am reminded by my senior producer and on-air travel companion, David Isby. You never know who's listening. And maybe somebody out there lives in a town or is on a committee or is on a commission or heads up some organization that has a spot that tells the story of the history of the town, the building, a particular person. It may be a historic home or it may be some museum kind of an establishment that wants to do something that's more interesting, more interactive, more 21st century, telling a story of the past, or even a story of the present. Mark's your man. You've got to get in touch with Martello Media. I have been to when the visitor center at the Cliffs of Moher first opened, which was a project that Mark and his company spearheaded and created and installed. I've been to the exhibit at the Black Rock Observatory in Cork, to the Yates exhibit at the National Library in Dublin, to the visitor center at Glasnevin Cemetery, which is the equivalent in Dublin of Père Lachaise in Paris, where you've got all the great political, literary, musical, intelligentsia, interesting people. So I think Sarah Bernhardt's buried in Père Lachaise, and so is Jim Morrison.
And
Oscar Wilde and Berlioz. And Oscar Wilde, really, I mean, you know, you hate to disturb people's final resting place, but he belongs at Glasnevin. And they picked up, wasn't it Michael Collins?
Michael Collins is there, and Eamon de Valera. So it would be like an American cemetery having both Robert E. Lee and Abe Lincoln
side by side,
100
right.
feet of each other.
Right. But didn't they move Michael Collins? Didn't he die in Cork?
He was killed in Cork, but he was buried in Glasnevin. But Eamon de Valera wouldn't let him have a high cross. They couldn't put the high cross over him till Eamon de Valera was dead.
But now Michael Collins has this wonderful obelisk kind of a monument. And there's some woman that comes every day. I don't know if she's still alive and still doing it.
She does, yes. French lady. And a big bunch of flowers for him every day.
Every day she brings fresh flowers.
He gets love notes from women all over the world, even though he's been dead 90 years.
Wow. Well, you know, there are characters like that, you know, and I don't mean character in the kind of, you know, comedic sense, but individuals with such a powerful personality that they touch people beyond the grave.
Best to die young.
Well,
that too.
But you know that saying, only the good die young. So look out for all those old people. I want to tell you, just on that note, never let your young child walk without holding your hand in an airport where there are old ladies with canes because they're vicious. One day I'll tell that story on the air. I almost took out this Belgian woman who tried to grab a cart from my son and then started to attack him with her cane because mommy told me to hold this cart for the luggage. She was going to take it away.
Little old ladies are notorious because you don't live to a great age and be little without being quite aggressive. You know?
And that's been my experience. So clearly it transcends countries and continents. We were talking about the new installation at the General Post Office in Dublin, which is a building that is kind of Greek neoclassic in design with the big tall columns, and you know, it's a very very imposing edifice, and then in the embedded in this imposing edifice are these big bullet holes from the Easter Rising. Imagine of all days of the year on Easter Sunday. It's like the Yom Kippur War in Israel.
Well, it was deliberately picked to be the symbolic resurrection of Ireland after 800 years of oppression, to do the last thing the British would expect in broad daylight in the middle of the capital city, to just take over the main communications hub and front shop window of the state and just seize it and then hold on to it in what is an extraordinary story of heroism and courage, because there was a mix-up with the orders and a lot of countermanding, and only 2,000 of the planned 6,000 rebels were supposed to, who were trained and ready. And the Irish had very few weapons, because the British had such an effective blockade to prevent weapons coming into Ireland. And they were taking on an overwhelmingly superior British force. And given that really they were all just amateur soldiers, they were all civilians, they all had day jobs, put on a remarkably good fight, so much so that the British had to take the ruthless decision of bombarding and destroying the whole centre of Dublin, rather like the Germans with the Warsaw Uprising, and the first capital city in Europe to be burnt down by an army since Napoleon had burnt Moscow, back in 1812. It was a very shocking event. And in terms of the immersive experience, the younger generation just can't imagine the scale or the terror of that violence. So we have an immersive semi-circular space, back-projected, with life-size projections, where we literally put the visitors in the central hall of the GPO during all the critical moments of the 1916 Rising. So it's happening all around them. You know, it's like a virtual reality experience. And to do that, we computer modeled the whole of Dublin with the wonders of cinematic CGI, exactly as it was in 1916, right down to the trams and the cobblestones, as it was before it was burned down. And then with the wonders of blue screen technology, we created a blue cube studio with cameras up in the ceiling and cameras in the side. And we brought our cast of actors, carefully picked to resemble all the famous historical characters on both sides, and meticulously researched with the costumes and clothes of the time. But with modern technology, we can place the real living people into the computer-created environment and give them magic maps. So when the rebels are standing at a wall map and worrying about what to do next, in the experience, the map zooms in and you see the trams and the people, and you see the battles happening street by street from overhead. Plus, we can zoom through the roof of Dublin Castle and see the British leadership, politicians, generals, around their maps, completely flummoxed, completely taken by surprise, not imagining that this secret Irish Republican Brotherhood were trained and armed to the extent that they were, to the extent of just trying to take over a whole capital city in broad daylight, and successfully doing that and holding it, for a week, until literally they were burnt out of it. Now, modern kids or modern tourists can't imagine these scenes, the past is another country. So this combination of computer-generated, back-projected environments, virtual reality and blue screen technology allows to put people right in the GPO and burn it down around them.
All right, let's hold that thought. We're going to take a quick commercial break and come right back and delve into this whole story, talking about the General Post Office in Dublin with Mark Leslie. Don't leave me. This is Stephanie Abrams.
There's a small part of our island that everyone knows. But there's a whole country that people come to know and always come back to. This is the undiscovered Jamaica. It's a country of mountains and waterfalls and rivers and Jamaicans. Come roam our hills and explore our heritage. Come hear reggae where reggae was born. It's a Jamaica that's more unique, more inviting, more intense. Yes, it's a road less traveled. And that's exactly the point. Come explore the other side of Jamaica. Our Jamaica.
Learn more at visitjamaica.com. That's visitjamaica.com.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching BizTV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, BizTV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. BizTV is for those who want to succeed. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I'm delighted to have Mark Leslie on the line. You can check out martellomedia.com. Have I got that right, Mark?
That's correct.
And Martello Media is named for Martello Tower, but I understand there's more than one Martello Tower in the Dublin area or in other places. Where are the – isn't there more than one?
They're right around the coast. They were built in 1805 by the British to keep the French out and the Irish in. But we're looking at the most famous one from our office, the famous James Joyce Tower, where the opening scene of Ulysses took place. So any literary buff who knows their James Joyce would know exactly which part of the tower we're talking about, the one in Sandy Cove in the south of Dublin Bay.
Explain your answer, the part of your answer to me that says that the Martello Towers, they look like big concrete stone gazebos.
Yes, they're great circular. They're like a sort of a sandcastle child would make by sticking his bucket in the sand. You know, it's like an upturned bucket of granite, circular, which usually had a huge 16-pound cannon on the top that could rotate round from all directions. And they were usually built just behind a coastal gun battery. So in the Napoleonic Wars, you'd have a big gun battery with the giant guns with the ovens for heating the cannonballs red hot so that when the cannonballs hit approaching ships, they'd set fire to them. But just in case the enemy landed troops by night to sneak round the back and knock the coastal gun batteries out, there'd always be a Martello Tower just behind the battery, which could shoot both out to sea and inland in any direction to prevent the gun batteries being taken by surprise from the rear. So they're dotted round the coast of Ireland, anywhere where they thought the French might invade to liberate Ireland from, you know, from British rule at a time when revolutionary fervor, inspired by both France and America's example, was running high. So you'll see them around Galway Bay and the Burren, but the most famous ones, the most known, that run down the coast in and around Dublin, because obviously that was a really obvious spot where the French might show up.
But you made an interesting point there, and maybe you can explain that a little bit better when you said it was to keep the French out and the Irish in.
Yes, well, I'm slightly oversimplifying, but we had a very bloody revolution in Ireland, unsuccessful revolution for independence in 1798, which was one of the rare times in Irish history where the Presbyterians of Ulster in particular were united with the Catholics in their dislike of British rule, and it frightened the bejesus out of the English because a French fleet had turned up and failed to land 2 years early, and a smaller French fleet came back in 1798 when the Irish rose up, even without the assistance of the French, and very nearly drove the British out of Ireland. But the British afterwards worked very assiduously to divide the Catholics from the Protestants to make sure this thing would never happen again. You know, so they chose to divide and rule by favouring, you know, one segment of the population over another. Whereas up until that time, there was much more unity between the different faiths. In fact, most of the revolutionary leaders in Ireland at that time were better educated people who travelled, and they largely tended to be from the wealthier Protestant community.
Well, it's interesting because I don't want to get into the politics of it, but there's been a lot of bantering about in the U.S. about building walls. And the point that I made in a recent, I think I did it in a blog, but I also did it on my Facebook page. And for those of you unfamiliar with I have two Facebook pages. One is about my book, Rumors. So you'll find Stephanie Abrams, author, Rumors, Facebook, whatever. But there's also Stephanie.Abrams.94 will take you to my Facebook page. That's just about things on my mind and whatnot. And one of the comments that I made was that, you know, when people build walls or put up bars or barriers to keep something out, they're also keeping the people on the other side in. And you never know when you will have the kind of authoritative whoever in control that you find out you can't get out. It's not
Absolutely. It's not just they can't get in, but you can't get out.
Keep
out always finds its way in. Think of the Maginot Line in France. The France thought they were completely secure behind their Maginot Line, you know, but the Germans just didn't come that way. It came around via Belgium and Holland. You know? Well, however long your wall is, there's always a way around the end of it. Well, even the Great Wall of China, you know, failed to keep the Mongols out. They just kept riding till they got to the end of the wall and then came around the corner, you know.
I know, and your family claims descendancy, true or not, to Attila the Hun.
Indeed, indeed.
But, you know, there's a story that comes to mind from about 25 years ago or maybe 30 years ago. It's more than two decades, I'm sure, of a family in Brooklyn, New York, that lived in a neighborhood that had a fairly high crime rate. And they were on a lower level, like on the first floor of their apartment building. So the lower level floors were easy access for somebody coming through a window and robbing you or looting your apartment or whatever. And so they put bars on the windows to keep the marauders out. And you see that in New York doesn't have the Market Corner on that. You know, you go to various tropical, gorgeous islands and places, and you'll see that as you drive, you know, around the island, that people have bars on their doors and their windows. Well, there was a fire in the apartment, and the mother and three or four children were inside and could not find the key that unlocked the bars.
Yes.
And the father came home in the midst of the blazing apartment and couldn't get in to help them, and they couldn't get out, and they all died in this fire. And, you know, that's, you know, an old memory from decades ago that comes to mind when people talk about walls. But, I'm particularly fascinated that just about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, there was some news report about in Africa the Tutsis and the Hutus were, you know, at it, and there was a report about, you know, these two tribes. These were not tribes. These were two groups of people that the British separated and gave names to and said, anybody with light skin, you're this group, and anybody that's darker skin, you're that group. And they separated them and then set them upon each other so they wouldn't kill the Brits, because while you're shooting at each other, you know, the Brits were, you know, the range of fire. But it's the same thing they did in India, and it's the same thing that what they did in Africa, the same thing they did in Ireland. And it's amazing to me that while you were talking about the vicious massacre that took place at that Easter Sunday, Easter Rising in 1916 in Dublin, and the decimation of the people in Ireland, my thought in my poor, pathetic, ridiculous brain was, did they stop for tea? Because, you know, there is this, they've got the best PR machine in the world. There is this, you say British and people think of white gloves and hats and handbags and stopping for tea at 4 o'clock and just the most civilized and genteel of people. And yet their history is miserable. And unfortunately, the Irish had the bad luck of being a little boat trip across the Irish Sea from Great Britain. Whereas we had a nice
other resonances to modern times, which I won't point out, is in the overreaction to a threat. You arrest all the wrong people. And one of the biggest successes of the 1916 Rising was, even though only 1815 to 2,000 rebels took part in it, and at the time, most of the Irish population thoroughly disapproved because they didn't like their capital city being wrecked for what they thought was a political adventure that had no possible chance of success. But the British made a point of arresting about 5,000 people and shipping them off to internment camps. Does this sound familiar? Who were clearly, blatantly innocent and nothing to do with the Rising, because how can you be arresting 5,000 when there was only 1,500 people had taken part. But, of course, they were mixed in with the real terrorists, the British called them. So by the time they got round to releasing all of these people a year later, the internment camp in Wales, where they'd all been shipped off to, had been a university of terrorism, as far as the British were concerned. All of the innocent people shipped out there innocent weren't innocent when they came back, because it was an opportunity for the revolutionaries, surviving revolutionaries, to indoctrinate these people. So just in that act of overreaction, of executing the rebel leaders and then interning literally thousands of ordinary innocent Dublin citizens, shipping them off and imprisoning them with the real revolutionaries, they succeeded beyond the wildest dreams of the Irish rebels in recruiting ordinary passers-by into hardcore revolutionaries who, as soon as they were let out, ran a very successful, you know, Minuteman American Revolution-style independence war against the British.
And in my list of countries or regions of the world where the British have gone in and taken peoples and turned them on one another or inflamed what was already an underlying feeling, I forgot to include the Middle East.
But yes,
we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick break. And, Mark, I'm going to ask you to give us the guided tour by radio of walking through that museum piece by piece, this exhibit that's been created at the General Post Office, and give us the date for the grand opening. We'll be right back. This is Stephanie Abrams talking with Mark Leslie. Always enjoy.
2016 Tanglewood season highlights include the Boston Symphony Orchestra concerts with current music director Andres Nelsons, the return of former music director Seiji Ozawa, Yo-Yo Ma, Seth MacFarlane and the Boston Pops Orchestra, plus Renee Fleming and many more. Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony, is located in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of western Massachusetts. For tickets and information, visit tanglewood.org. That's tanglewood.org.
We're America's Railroad. We're Amtrak. Get away for just $90 round trip with Amtrak's Adirondack Weekend Getaway Fare. Children ages 2 through 12 travel round trip at half price. Ride in comfort aboard the Adirondack. Amtrak, enjoy the journey.
Rumors, Stephanie Abrams' novel of secrets, lies, and conspiracies that ensnare the lives of ordinary people in a tightening web that all starts with rumors. Available at Amazon.com in print and Kindle formats and BarnesandNoble.com. Rumors.
Ireland invites you to visit the world's only Pabunalobby. What's a Pabunalobby, you ask? It's when you're on your way from Bunratty Castle to the Giant's Causeway when a wrong turn ends up being perfectly right. Because before you know it, you're sitting in a Dublin pub singing O Danny Boy with a man named, of all things, Bobby. Dublin pubs, Bunratty Castle, Bobby. Pabunalobby. Only Ireland has it. So take a vacation from the typical vacation.
Find great value vacation offers at Ireland.com.
We're America's Railroad. We're Amtrak. Get away for just $90 round trip with Amtrak's Adirondack Weekend Getaway Fare. Children ages 2 through 12 travel round trip at half price. Ride in comfort aboard the Adirondack. Amtrak, enjoy the journey.
Rumors, Stephanie Abrams' novel of secrets, lies, and conspiracies that ensnare the lives of ordinary people in a tightening web that all starts with rumors. Available at Amazon.com in print and Kindle formats and BarnesandNoble.com. Rumors.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068, 800-957-6068, that's 800-957-6068.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I have Mark Leslie on the line. He's the CEO of a very creative, forward-thinking company that creates the most imaginative and educational exhibit centers where you walk through an exhibit created by Martello Media and you will come out feeling like you know the subject, the people. The one that comes to mind first for me is W.B. Yeats, the poet, about whom Mark's company was asked to create an exhibit that is, as I believe it's still, at the National Library in Dublin. And the National Library of Dublin is run under the auspices of the Office of Public Works of Ireland. And all of the Office of Public Works exhibits that I'm familiar with, and there are many all around the country, one of my favorites being the Museum of Country Life, which I think is in Mayo. But it's on the west side of Ireland. What a fabulous place. They're all free admission because it's supported by the Office of Public Works. Now, the General Post Office exhibit in Dublin is just getting off to a rousing start because this year, 2016, is the 100th anniversary of the Easter Rising, an event that focused around the General Post Office and downtown Dublin. And the reason it focused around the General Post Office was that this is where the rebels set up shop and where the
It was the seat of the first provisional government, and our Declaration of Independence was read out from the portico. And it was the central hub of communications. So by seizing it, they thought they would paralyze all the telegraph and telephone lines. It still is the main communications hub for Ireland. And yet, because of its rich symbolism of the building for its role in the revolution, it's a speaker's corner. If anyone wants to make a political point, they go and protest or they demonstrate or they march to the portico of the General Post Office. It's where St. Patrick's Day parades head off and end up. It's where sports events happen. It's where the Palestinians come and, you know, protest. It's where any sort of human rights protest or political protest, people instinctively go to it because that building is the symbol of democracy in Ireland, a very potent symbol. And the visitor experience is layered, therefore. It's going to be a major flagship visitor attraction in right in the centre of Dublin's grandest street, you know, right at the sort of ground zero, middle of the capital city. And we layer it for people who know absolutely nothing about Irish history to people who know absolutely everything about Irish history and everything in between. So you can just wander in and look at walls of political posters and walk into the immersive audiovisual experience and be there and actually physically experience being in the Rising. Or the sets, the dress sets that we built for making the immersive movie are there, and with a lot of interactive touchscreen technology. So having seen the movie with the rebels sending the very first radio news broadcast in history, announcing the birth of the Irish Republic from the radio mast on top of a building across the way that was picked up by ships in the Atlantic Ocean, so that the news of the Rising was first printed in the newspapers in America. The New York Times ran the story for 14 consecutive days. You can actually use the radio equipment and try and send a Morse code broadcast. Or on a touch screen, you can route dispatch riders from one military site in the city to the other to try and get messages through. Or you can compose newspaper headlines using interactive hot lead tape. You can do a myriad of hands-on activity if you're a child, or a child of any age, of age or 80, mirroring the things that you see the people doing in the immersive wraparound movie that wraps around you on three sides. So you can learn by reading, you can learn by seeing, but you can learn by doing, participating.
Well, you know, both times I have been inside the General Post Office in Dublin, Ireland, Mark, both times were with you. Both times were the beginning of January, just after the new year. And therefore, both times there were these wonderful Christmas displays that looked like something you'd see in a big, giant department store in a major metropolis in the U.S. or London, with, you know, giant trees and elves and reindeer, and, you know, it just gorgeous and wonderful.
Well,
but
on that note, the post office and POF, the Irish Post Organization, are very much, every child in Ireland sends their Santa card or their Christmas wish list to ANPOF, and the postal service and send a reply from Santa to every child in Ireland who writes to Santa every year.
Oh, well, I need to write to Santa next year then.
Yeah, you know,
I would like to get a reply. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you first come in to the post office, to your left is the big post office floor. And for any of you who have been in the main post office in New York City between, I'm going to say 32nd and 33rd Street and 8th Avenue, across the street from the back of Penn Station and Madison Square Garden. We have a big, giant, enormous post office. We have to walk up 1,000 steps to get into it. There's probably some side entry for people who have challenges with getting up steps. I may be one of those soon. But in any event, your post office, at least in Dublin, is flush with the ground. You don't have this myriad of steps to deal with first. But when you come in, to the left is the actual big giant floor where the kind of teller windows are to deal with the postal workers for taking care of stamps and mailings and this and that. We have just a minute. Can you walk us through walking to the right and zip us through what we're going to see?
What they've cunningly done to preserve the authenticity of it still being the central communications hub in Ireland, they've created a new museum space in the courtyard. They've dug out the courtyard and created an immersive underground gallery, which brings you right back to the Celtic cultural revival of the 1890s, brings you through the whole cultural movement, the period of poetry and playwrights and language revival that strengthened the Irish national identity to the extent which you need a cultural revival before you can have a political revival. Then it takes you through the events of the Home Rule crisis, where the British, in a last-ditch attempt to stave off Irish independence, promised the Irish self-government in the United Kingdom, which tragically was sabotaged by a sort of effective armed rebellion by the Protestants of Ulster to block that. And then, although Home Rule was enacted and on statute books, the First World War broke out all the same week, and the British put in the ban. Hundreds of thousands of Irish troops go off to fight in the First World War. If you fight this one last war for us, we'll give you your freedom afterwards.
Mark, we've got about 6 seconds. What is the date, the official opening date?
Okay, Good Friday of this Easter.
Beautiful. Stay with us, everybody. More to come. We're flying high.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.